the creation he already made. You know, it's like God expends power, and there's no end of his power. He could, you know, I mean, he could make the creation a billion times larger, expand it. So this is going to be a new heavens and a new earth. I mean, what's that going to be like? In fact, when you read in Revelation the some of the things about the new heaven and the new earth, like the city, the way it's going to be this gigantic cube, and the way the physical laws work right now, a city of that size would collapse into a sphere. I mean, it wouldn't be able to be a cube. But I mean, whatever. I mean, whether the laws are changed or it just doesn't regard the laws, it doesn't matter, because the physical laws are no laws at all. They're more like the physical settings. You know, like gravity is at a particular setting. It's not necessarily a law. I mean, who says it's a law? Well, it's a law to us. I mean, we can't break it. But to God, it's not a law. It's not a law at all. It's only binding on whoever he wants it to be binding. So Jesus could ascend into heaven. Didn't need, you know, or where he could walk on water. There's no laws being broken because they aren't laws. Anyways, but I guess I say all that because I, you know, when I think of the rewards that God has in store, it to me, it boggles my mind. It's more than I, you know, than it's such a high calling, and it's so something so valuable. It's like the thought that God would actually give that to anybody is it is generosity beyond my comprehension. That he would be so kind to creatures like us. Filthy, smelly, sinful creatures. Which are not really able to do the thing. You know, he gives us laws and we're not able to obey them. And then but he did that in order to make us all understand so that he might give us something even better. That's just, to me, it's too high for me. I can't. My mind can't really even wrap itself around the full feeling that one ought to have regarding that. Verse 8. Howbeit, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire to be again in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Interesting, you know, he's saying, I hope I didn't waste my time. I hope I didn't waste my work. This is said, I believe, in a rhetorical sense too. You know, to shake them out of their foolishness. You know, oh, you foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? You know, we are, the way God is giving this to us is a wonderful way. The way that you don't obtain it through the law is such a pain. You know, when we knew not God, we did the service to them which by nature are no gods. There really are no other gods, you know. We talk about other gods and worship other gods, just like the other gospel. There is no other gospel. I mean, there's a perversion of the gospel. You know, that's why people will say, well, we all worship the same God. You know, Jews, Muslims, Christians, Catholics, what do they call it? You know, Protestants, Pentecostals, and whatever else there is out there that worships one God. Well, we're all worshiping one God, so it's got to be the same one God. And as anyone who's zealous in any of those faiths knows, it's only one God to those who are really don't have, you know, much of a concept of a specific concept of God at all. It's like, oh, God is loving, you know. They'll say, oh, God is this. And we all just, we all believe in one God, so, you know, there's only one God. Well, there's actually many one gods, or many pretenders to be one God, or many doctrines of one God out there. But it is only the truth that leads you to the true God, who is truly God by nature. But now, after you have known God, or rather, are known of God, Interesting. Not after that you have known God, but truly, where it truly starts is now, is that not after, it's, but since you are known of God, or God has made himself known to you, what he's really saying here is that it begins with God, not really with your knowledge. Not like, well, I look what I've discovered. It's God. Look what I found. There's a God out there. I'm beginning to see him. I'm finding him out. I'm going to search him out. I'm going to seek God. I don't know, maybe there's a God out there. I'll start seeking for him, then I'll find him, and then I'll know him. The man thinks he can do things like it. He thinks he can seek out God and know him. But the truth is, God, if you can anywhere find yourself, your way to God, it's because he led you there. Don't be deceived. God leads you to him. He's the one doing the drawing. He's saying, oh, now that this has come, why turn back to these weak things? You know, why is it weak? Because the law is weak through sin. Because the law is not able to make a man right. All it is able to do is to point out your faults. And so, by that, it doesn't really make you right. All it does is prove you wrong. You know, and it can't make you right. Though it can, as Paul says in the book of Romans, it can witness your righteousness. But it does not, you know, because as Paul says in another place, that we fulfill the law, we establish the law in Christ. Why? Because of righteousness, because of the righteousness which we receive. So, why do you desire, you know, unto these things, these beggarly elements, why do you desire again, you know, the word beggarly is literally poor, you know, these poor, you know, these poor order, this poor order, this order of things, which is not the riches of Christ, but it's really poverty. Because the law results in a poverty of righteousness, whereas Christ brings in riches of righteousness. Riches of faith. The law tears down. The law is good and holy and just and true, but as far as the way it affects you,